Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
David, I know I shouldn't take this personally, but I am so frustrated. I just want to yell at my team and walk away. I need help managing my emotions, or I am going to have a meltdown.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Amanda is a team leader for an international clothing producer. She loves her work. She finds it inspiring, and she cares deeply about everyone on her team. She really cares about her people and the quality of the work that they do. Like many leaders, though, her passion has turned to frustration as she struggled to manage her own emotions. Leadership's challenging. Things never go exactly according to plan. Disappointments creep up where you don't expect them, and people are erratic. Leading means you've got to deal with the human element. So if you're going to succeed over time and achieve those breakthrough results, you can't walk around stressed out and frustrated all the time. You'll break down, or you'll lash out at your team, and either way, your credibility will suffer. So today I want to give you a couple of different tools you can use to help manage your emotions, particularly as you might be getting frustrated with people or with situations. Recently, we were conducting a workshop, and one of the managers who was attending said, "Look, I'm here to manage results, not manage emotions." And honestly, I think that's a naive, dangerous, and self-sabotaging statement to make. Managing emotions, starting with your own, is a critical leadership skill. So here are some ways you can do that. First, depersonalize issues. This was one of the things that was really getting under Amanda's skin. She was taking her team's behavior personally. She was basically saying, "How can they do this to me?" But here's the thing. Another person's behavior is almost never about you. They're living their life, trying to do the best they can with what they have. I promise that they didn't wake up that morning thinking about the best way to upset you. In short, you're not the center of anyone else's universe. Well, unless you have a dog, then you're totally the center of their world. Depersonalize the issue by recognizing it isn't about you. You need to lead through it, but it's not about you. Next, name your feelings. This is a powerful way to lessen the grip of those strong emotions. When you realize you're feeling tense, upset, tight, or can't breathe, take a moment and try to name the feeling. You're experiencing something, identify it. So for example, I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling sad. Your emotions are there for a reason. They're like a warning siren. They're calling for attention. But we experience them physically many times, and we don't realize the emotion that's going on. When you ignore that emotion or try to push it away, it'll turn up the volume. Over time, consistently ignoring them can do serious damage. But when you name it, it's like you've acknowledged the warning call by saying, "I see you. Thanks for alerting me." And sometimes just naming the feeling helps it to move through you and loosen its grip. It's like, "Hey, I got your attention. I've raised the alert. That's all I needed to do. I'm good now." The next suggestion is something I call apple catching. And then basically the idea here is to choose what you allow in. And so it's a visualization process that can help. So imagine someone tossed an apple to you. You wouldn't catch the apple with your mouth, immediately chew it up and swallow it. You'd catch the apple, you'd inspect it, and then you'd decide if and when you wanted to eat it. Feedback is the same way. Don't automatically internalize every bit of feedback that you get. If a 4-year-old stomped their foot and said, "I don't like you very much," it probably wouldn't offend you. But have a 44-year-old colleague say those same words, and many people automatically internalize it, take offense, and wonder what's wrong with them. They'll swallow that feedback without first evaluating it and whether or not it has something useful for them. Next, you want to get perspective. Imagine holding a penny right in front of your eye. It blocks out your entire vision. Even if there's a huge mountain right in front of you, you're not going to be able to see it because that small penny is consuming your vision. Move the penny farther away from you, get it back in proper perspective, and it no longer blocks your vision. Leadership problems and frustrations are similar. You care. You devote so much of yourself to the work. Of course, the problems seem huge. But without perspective, it's often impossible to find the healthiest solutions. So what helps you to restore your perspective? For me, it's nature. Sunsets, stars, forests, rivers, mountains that remind me that this is a small problem in a very large universe. Or time with family and friends that restores my value of what matters most in life, and it gives me energy and reserves to tackle the challenges that I'm facing. Moving your body helps. A short walk, run, a bike ride gives your mind time to process and work through what you're feeling, restores your physical health. Those are things that work for me. You'll find your own that work for you, but the idea is, how can you restore your perspective? Give yourself room to feel. You're a human being, and the emotions that you have, that are you're in their grip, they're there for a reason. Anger is a sign that something's wrong. Sadness is an acknowledgement of loss. Fear is a normal feeling when you're faced with the unknown. It's okay to have these feelings. You can't erase them. Rather than ignore them or fight them, acknowledge them and give yourself a moment to feel them. So earlier you identified the emotion. Now let yourself feel it. This doesn't mean that you wallow in it or that you're going to stay stuck. And many leaders and type A driven people have that concern that if I really allow myself to experience this emotion, I'm going to get stuck here. I know I have wrestled with that. But I promise that if you'll allow yourself to feel it, it's like standing in a river and it will flow on by. When that promotion doesn't happen or your team lets you down, give yourself time. Maybe an hour, maybe a day or two to feel sad. Then move forward. Let the emotion do the work it needs to do. And then, after you've acknowledged your feelings, it's time to figure out what comes next. One of the best ways to figure out what comes next is to ask yourself a "how can I" question. For example, if you didn't get the promotion, you might ask, "How can I better position myself for the next opportunity?" When your team lets you down, you can ask, "How can I ensure that they're able to do what needs to happen the next time?" Maybe you need to clarify what success looks like, or maybe it's time to have an overdue Inspire conversation. Moving to a "how can I" question is important because it re-empowers you and it produces some positive energy. Don't move to the "how can I" step until you've first identified the emotion and experienced it, allowed it to do the work that it needs to do. If you move to "how can I" first, you might solve the wrong problem, or solve a problem that didn't need solving, or you might try to say, "how can I stop feeling this way?" And that's not always the best solution. What's that emotion there to tell you? And then, how can I productively lead through that? And sometimes it may be you need to learn a new skill. Sometimes it may be you need to stop avoiding something. A final note here, if you're unable to cope with your emotions over time, whether it's depression, rage, anxiety, or anything of the sort, please seek the help of your doctor or a mental health professional. Your mental health is every bit as real a need as your physical health. And so if it's feeling out of whack for a period of time, take care of yourself and go talk to a professional who can get you the help you need.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
All right. It is time to answer a question. I would love to answer your leadership or management related questions. You can ask a question about any topic that's current for you right now, or you can ask about a previous episode of the show. You can get me your question one of two ways. You can email it to me, david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com, or you can go to leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com, click the big orange button, and there you can record your question. Leave us your name, tell us where you're from, and your question, and I'll look forward to answering that in a future episode. Today's question comes from Megan, and it's a common question with regard to younger folks in the workplace. Megan writes, David, I have a team member in her late 20s who is very eager to be promoted into a leadership or management role. The problem is that she's not very mature yet, and she needs more time in the role. But whenever we have the conversation and I tell her that she needs to spend more time in her current position, she gets frustrated, and I'm worried I'm going to lose her. I may actually already lose her, but I want to know how to avoid this in the future. Do you have any ideas? Megan, I certainly do. And the first thing I will tell you is that you're not alone. There are all kinds of folks listening to the show right now, along with you, who are nodding their head saying, yes, I've been there. And I've been there, and I've been on the receiving end of that as well. So let's talk about what's happening here. You've got somebody first who wants to lead, who wants to take responsibility. Now, maybe they are motivated by something other than the taking care of the people on the team or the purpose of the team. Maybe they're after the prestige or what they perceive as the power of the position, or they need more money. Anything like that. So the first thing is, in your discussions around leadership or management, be sure and accentuate of those five P's, power, purse, prestige, people, or purpose, the people and purpose side of things, that this is what leadership in this organization is all about, that taking care of the team and bringing them together and achieving those goals and really doing the work, that's what it's all about. And so those are the things that we're looking for as you're doing the work you're doing now. The next thing you want to do is break down that idea of you need more time into some specific identifiable competencies or experiences that the employee can have. They're going to qualify them, in your mind, for those leadership roles. So for instance, if you have a team that does different types of work throughout the year, they may need 1 or 2 year cycle in order to have experienced all of the different things that you do. And to be able to say that up front and help them understand, so we do a lot of different things. It takes typically 18 months to 24 months for everybody to master two times through those cycles and to be able to lead other people through them. That's a specific. Or if there are some behavioral competencies, some leadership competencies that you're looking for, you might say something like, one of the primary things that we look for in leaders is the ability to handle conflict productively. And so if we were to look at a recent conflict that you had with your coworker or with another supervisor, here's what happened. And here's what that would look like for somebody we're considering for a leadership role. And so for the next couple of months, as you're having these opportunities come up, I'd like you to focus on using the Inspire model or handling conflict in whatever positive, constructive way you do that, so that they're able to recognize specifically what it is that they need to grow. And so you mentioned that she's immature. Well, what does that look like? Remember from our conversation around the Inspire model in an earlier episode, if you were to pull out your phone and record a video of her, quote, being immature, and then play that back, what would you describe? What is it that you're seeing? Is she reacting negatively to feedback? When she's bored, is she doing things that are undermining her credibility with customers? What is it that's happening there? And to have a frank conversation about that, that this is what's required. This is what success looks like. This is what leaders do in these types of roles, and I'd like to see those specific things from you. The idea here is that rather than just say, hey, it's going to take time, you need more experience, try to be specific about what that time or experience would do for that person in your mind so that they can be working on those things. Because here's the good news. You have somebody who wants to lead. If they want to take more responsibility, that's a good thing. We want to leverage that. We want to build on that. We don't want to let it float away and lose that person. If they're only motivated by some sense of prestige about having the letters after their name or something like that, probably not a good fit anyway. But if they do want to take responsibility and they are looking to get results, great. How can you help them get there as quickly as possible? So break it down, get specific, and share those observations and expectations with the person. Megan, thanks again for that question. And thanks for caring enough about the person to think about how you can help them. And maybe it's not too late. Have that conversation right away. Even start with an inspire conversation. Hey, you know, I've noticed that you've asked a couple times about when you might get into a leadership role. And I've been thinking about that and want to have a conversation a little bit more deeply. I know I've said it takes more time, but I want to have a conversation at a deeper level about what you're looking for in those roles and what I'd be looking for in you and how you can get there. Sound good? Great. As with Megan's, I will look forward to answering your question in a future episode. Send those in and we'll get you an answer. Remember, when you're feeling more frustrated than focused, your feelings have a job to do. At the same time, if you don't develop the skills for managing your emotions, those emotions can cripple your leadership. So effective leaders lead themselves first. Start by acknowledging your own humanity and then lead your team through theirs. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.